Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, May 7th, 2021. 4 people were killed in a fresh attack in Lanya County.
I want to take this opportunity to strongly condemn this, and as the commissioner of Lanya, I will be working closely with the committee that has been formed by His Excellency the Governor to ensure that one, we quickly intervene, restore law and order.
And a civil society activist was arrested in Jonglei State after he accused state officials of stealing food meant for flood victims.
He was summoned by the national security on Wednesday. So they investigated him on Wednesday, and on Thursday again they called him back around 11.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At least 4 civilians were killed in an attack in Wujibuma in central Equatoria State's Lanya County by armed pastoralists suspected of being from Turkeka County on Thursday, according to Lanya County Commissioner. Central Equatoria Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony has sent a team to Lanya County to prevent further violence as tension remains high in the county. Daniel Friday Martin reports for VOA from Yei.
Lanya County Commissioner Emmanuel Kamis says armed pastoralists from Tarekeka County killed 4 people, including executive chief of Wujibuma, during yesterday's attack.
I want to take this opportunity to strongly condemn this, and as the commissioner of Lanya, I will be working closely with the committee that has been formed by His Excellency the Governor to ensure that one, we quickly intervene, restore law and order, stop the killings, displacement and looting of the people of Lanya County by the armed Mandari cattle keepers. Number 2, to enforce the order of the president and the order of the governor to ensure that these Mandari cattle keepers evacuate all areas of Lanya County within the specified period of time. We will work together to ensure that those who committed these crimes must be held responsible and accountable.
Kamis says armed Tarekeka pastoralists have been terrorizing residents and looting property across Lanya County for the past 2 weeks. He says hundreds of villagers have fled to the bush for safety. Tarekeka County Commissioner James Lino is in Lanya County to address the violence with Lanya authorities. Lino also condemned the attack. He says Lanya and Tarekeka authorities will jointly investigate the violence and work to restore peaceful coexistence between the farming and pastoralist communities.
My message to the 2 communities of Mundari and Lanya involved in the conflict is that I don't want fighting. I want peace, and people should know that the government is looking into this issue because I am in Lanya to investigate this matter. And for those who have been killed, the law will ensure justice prevails, and I want all my Mundari people to leave Lanya because I don't want problems with my neighboring counties.
Central Equatorial State Minister for Peace Building, Gerard Francis, is urging the 2 warring communities to resolve their differences through direct talks.
We cannot condone any behavior or fighting or hatred against each other. We need really to desist from conflict and fighting each other and so on, and embrace dialogue, because dialogue is the only way that can save all of us, can save lives and so on. My message to all my people in Central Equatoria is that to embrace peace.
Brigadier General James Modi, the Central Equatorial State Advisor on Peace and Security, who heads the team sent by Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony to Lanya County, is strongly advising the 2 communities not to take the law into their own hands.
Our presence here to make sure there is no more fighting between the cattle herders and the farmers here in the area. As the Security and Peace Advisor, my message is let them remain calm. People should not fight with each other, and people remain peacefully, and the cattle keepers has to leave to their respected areas, and then leave the farmers, the Wuji and Kopera, to cultivate in their farming areas.
Earlier, Central Equatorial State authorities ordered the pastoralists to return to Tarekeka. They also formed committees to mediate the peaceful return of the pastoralists to Tarekeka so that local farmers in Lanya can concentrate on producing food this farming season. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei, Central Equatorial State.
The The South Sudan National Security Service has arrested the chairperson of Jungle State Civil Society Network, David Garangoj. The secretary of the network, Ngang Philip, says Garang was picked up yesterday without any arrest warrant. Garang has accused the state authorities of selling food items donated by President Kiir recently. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Ngang Philip, the secretary of the Jonglei State Civil Society Network, says Garangoj was detained yesterday by the National Security Service without being charged with a crime. Ngang says on Wednesday, the NSS summoned Goj for questioning about his statement broadcast on this program that state officials allegedly stole food items meant for flood victims donated by President Salva Kiir.
He was summoned by the National Security on Wednesday. So they investigated him on Wednesday, and on Thursday again they called him back around 11. He was with them until 5. So by 5 I was suspicious, and when there was someone to check on him, I found he was not there. So I have to write to the police and inquire from the police. The police told me that David Garangoj has been brought here as a national security. So when I asked to meet him, he was denied. I was denied to meet him. So I also went back after an hour, taking food to him. They took the food from me, and then they also denied me access to him.
President Kiir donated 12 truckloads of food items to victims of last year's massive floods while visiting Boron April 1st. Goj told South Sudan in Focus he witnessed some of the food items being offloaded from a truck straight into shops at Bor's Maror Market. Mabil Tot, the deputy mayor of municipality, was supposed to distribute the food aid to beneficiaries. Tot is staunchly denied that officials sold any of the donated food in markets. He said his office turned over all of the donated food items to residential community leaders for distribution among the displaced. Tot said it was possible that individuals recipients took the donated food to the market. Garang said the amount of food he saw being offloaded into shops was too large to belong to a handful of individuals. He also said there is no reason why food insecure people would sell their shares of the presidential food donations. Ngang says if a crime was committed, the complainant should have filed a case instead of arbitrarily arresting an activist. He is calling on the National Security Service to release Goj or charge him with an offense in a court of law.
Procedure used by the National Security were not right. It is very unfortunate that the National Security can just arrest the civil society in such a manner. If two institutions that were in charge of the food distribution are saying that the food is not in the market, then they have to make sure that the case is heard. So at this point, we are calling for the immediate release of the chairperson, that is one. The present food has been spotted in the market. The vehicle were loaded from the distribution side direct to the market, and it was seen in the market. Everybody, including the resident around Bor town, knew that the food had been sold.
Jonglei State Police Commissioner Major General Joseph Mayana Kon confirms that Goj was arrested and is being investigated by the National Security Service in Bor.
Something has gone to the air, and it had been said that it was Garang who did that one. So he's now there to confirm this issue, whether he's the one who did it or not.
When reached by South Sudan in Focus today, the new National Security Service Director in Bor, Colonel Marier Arok, declined to comment on Goj's arrest. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Juba.
South Sudan's General Education Ministry has issued an order stopping private schools from increasing school fees this year. The Deputy Minister for General Education told reporters in Juba on Thursday his ministry has received several complaints from parents across the country accusing private schools of charging exorbitant tuition fees and some schools demanding the fees be paid in dollars. A union representing private schools says it won't abide by the ministerial order. Winnie Chirino has the story for VOA from Juba.
Mark Takomoyi, the Deputy Minister for General Education, says his ministry recently suspended registration of students in private schools after dozens of parents complained to his office and to the Secondary School Education Department about private school administrators charging much higher school fees this year.
It was unbearable for the parents that the private schools charged very, very, very high. Some of them even charge in US dollars, by the way. And then the multiple charges here. You will have a school charging for the form. It varies from 2,000 to 10,000. That is just for form. And then some charge very expensively. And see how unbearable it would be for the parents to manage. One school in Munich Payam charged 3,250 US dollars per annum per academic year.
Moyi says he is aware that a few private schools at least held meetings with parents and mutually agreed on school fees considering the current economic situation. He says his ministry will not allow schools to charge higher fees this year, nor will schools be permitted to demand that the fees be paid in foreign currencies.
All private schools to charge school fees in Republic of South Sudan only in South Sudanese pounds, not any other foreign currency. Number two, the private schools to charge annual school fees not exceeding 80,000 South Sudanese pounds only. And this 80,000 is per academic year. And this is to be divided by 3 terms. And this includes everything.
Moyi says payments for students' extracurricular activities like sports should be made optional for parents and guardians. He urges parents of students enrolled in private schools without Parents Teachers Association to establish them this year. Isaac Woja, a member of the board of directors of Juba Academy Boarding Secondary School, says he understands parents' complaints, but says it would have been better if the ministry had engaged school directors to understand why certain fees are being charged. He says his school solely relies on school fees to pay for school meals, medical treatment, fuel for electricity, and the salaries of staff. He says the proposed 200,000 South Sudanese pounds charged for tuition fees will not cover school expenses. Woja says if a student pays 200,000 for 3 terms, which is 270 days, every child will spend only 800 South Sudanese pounds per day, which he says does not even cover meals with the country's higher food prices.
We provide 3 meals. That's breakfast, that's lunch, and supper. So feeding alone the 800 pounds can't. That is money for 1 meal, and that's a meal of beans or eating korofo. So it would have been good for the ministry to look at the challenges boarding schools go through in providing meals for the students. And that's only our concern. So if food prices were lower, that would have been okay.
Asher Manuat, Vice President of the South Sudan Union of Private Schools and Director of the Juba-based St. Lawrence Academy Nursery, Primary and Secondary School, says it's unfair for the ministry to group the private schools with the community schools and faith-based schools because he says those institutions are often publicly funded. He says the ministry must understand that South Sudan has a free market economy based on supply and demand. Manuat says private schools will not abide by the ministerial order.
We are going to deliver our letter on Monday to Vice President for cluster, and copy is going to be taken to the Minister of General Education and all state ministry of education. That the position of private school, we are not going for that circular. We are not going. It must be taken very plain. We are not going for that circular.
Manuat says although the Education Act allows the government to regulate schools, it does not give the government powers to determine fees charged by private schools. He also warns the government's decision may scare off potential investors, which in turn will affect the education sector in a country which has a high illiteracy rate. Public schools opened on Monday this week after being closed for more than a year due to COVID-19. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, we look at reports of food shortages in Ethiopia.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best advice you have ever gotten? Got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me a very successful woman is a very hardworking woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had a stroke and he was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. It was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Ethiopia's Tigray region has been ravaged by 6 months of conflict between the Tigray People's Liberation Front rebels and a military alliance of the Ethiopian and Eritrean armies and their associated militias. Now there are fears of widespread starvation as continued violence threatens to disrupt the planting season. For analysis, VOA's Jason Patinkin reached out to Professor Alex Dual, who is Executive Director of the World Peace Foundation at Tufts University in Massachusetts. Dual is an expert in humanitarian crises and famine in the Horn of Africa.
I've worked on issues of famine, war, atrocity, genocide, etc. for 37 years. And never in my career have I witnessed or documented a situation of such widespread and systematic and utterly brutal destruction of what is essential to sustain life. This is not only a man-made famine, it is a starvation crime on the hugest scale.
Now, a famine has not been declared in Tigray. We spoke to MSF yesterday, and they said that while one indicator, malnutrition, is above the emergency threshold, and emergency is one step below famine, other indicators, such as mortality, were not at the famine level for the people they have access to.
A famine is unavoidable under the current situation. There are, according to the United Nations, between 4.5 and 5.2 million people in immediate need of humanitarian assistance. And of those, about 1 million are receiving that. The majority of those in need, and those in gravest need, are beyond the reach of international assistance. The people whom Médecins Sans Frontières are seeing in their clinics are those for whom they have some access. They are not seeing the worse situation that prevails elsewhere. And as the weeks go by, that situation will only deteriorate. What is driving this crisis is not drought, it's not locusts. What it is a combination of a war and a determination, starvation crimes, by the Ethiopian Federal Forces, the Eritrean Army, and the militia from neighboring Amhara to starve the people of Tigray. So what I very much fear, and the evidence is now overwhelming, is that we are on a very steep downward trajectory towards a disaster, the scale of which we have not seen in decades.
And what's the evidence that you have for this deliberate campaign that you allege?
Despite the information blackout, enough information has leaked out about the deliberate destruction of foodstuffs, the vandalization, destruction of clinics, the destruction of employment opportunities, and the level of rape, of sexual violence, is also extremely high. And that is a starvation crime. Many women and girls, because of fear of rape, are unable to do those essential activities, looking for food, going to market, or even going to look for assistance that would keep themselves and their families alive.
Now, I want to bring in the government's view. When your organization first made this allegation last month of a deliberate starvation campaign, they said in a statement to BBC that your allegations are entirely detached from the facts on the ground. They also said it wasn't them, but it was the rebels, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, who are responsible because they attacked Ethiopian army posts last year right before the harvest season. And they also accused the TPLF of deliberately destroying infrastructure while retreating. Essentially, they're saying, you're wrong, and this is the TPLF's fault. What's your response?
Two points. First of all, regardless who might have started the war. It is a war crime to go around systematically, relentlessly destroying hospitals, destroying food, raping women and children. They had nothing to do with this war and how it started. Secondly, every senior aid official with whom I have been in contact tells me that what we describe in our report is not only true, but the reality is worse.
Last of all, what do you think needs to happen to either prevent a famine from occurring or to mitigate its effects if, as you say, it is inevitable?
The first thing is to allow communication, to let the world see. If there is nothing to hide, then why is the Ethiopian government hiding it? Why has it shut off communications, shut down the internet, prevented aid groups from speaking candidly? Let us go in and see what is happening. Let us also then have a ceasefire. It is a war. The government refuses to concede that it is a war. And then let us move to reconstructing the destroyed infrastructure, compensating and providing reparations to the hundreds of thousands, millions of victims of this needless and brutal war.
All sides in the Tigray conflict are accused of atrocities. The Ethiopian government has variously denied and admitted that its troops have committed abuses in Tigray. The Eritrean government has denied all allegations against its forces, but says anyone responsible for sexual violence should be punished. The TPLF has described the attack before the harvest season as a preemptive strike and has also denied accusations of atrocities. We love to hear what you think about this show. Once again, we heard from many of you this week about our coverage of developments in South Sudan and Sudan and international events like Press Freedom Day. Mal Adaw Mal in Bortown writes, "Please allow me to congratulate every journalist in the media on International Press Freedom Day, especially VOA, Al Jazeera, BBC, Radio Miraya, and iRadio journalists for their credible and accurate information being rendered to the public, narrowing the entire world into a small living room. We do understand that the press is not that free, as many journalists lose their lives due to poor political atmosphere, mostly in Africa. An activist was recently arrested for airing the truth of what happened to presidential food aid to the local population in Bortown. We need an early release of the activist because we know the donations were sold. May God bless all journalists in their work." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bor says, "I am happy with the VOA program. It feeds us accurate and reliable news." Maker Mayor from Lake States, Ural, Adior Payam writes, "I am very grateful to our Holy Father for the appointment of Bishop of Wau as a caretaker of our Diocese of Rombek to rescue our hijacked diocese from the children of darkness. As clearly said by our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will know my people by their actions, but not the words of their mouth. I also wish our bishop-elect a quick recovery to come back and lead our beloved Diocese of Rombek to the right path of Christ." A person who identifies himself as Kamba in Juba says, "This land grabbing in Juba is a result of the government's failure to provide and for all investors coming into the country. As a result, investors come and invest in individual plots of land, and this has motivated some people to own more than 10 plots of land in order to make money. Millions of South Sudanese pounds could go to the local government on the ground if indeed they could have designated some investment areas." James Duor Chienkwe Ayel in Juba writes, "I am really disappointed with the way Arxis is moving since the RT Gono has abandoned resources under their mandate as is stipulated in Chapter 1, which talked of restoring permanent and sustainable peace, security and instability in the country. It may lead to more insecurity if they keep serving themselves and forget about the public." Mabor Alatrengo from Rombek says, "My major concern is about the lack of blood in the National Blood Bank. It is the responsibility of all citizens to donate blood to bank to save the lives of mothers, sisters, brothers, and fathers who are anemic and are in need of blood. It is bad to see people dying due to a lack of blood in the blood bank. People like Tricia C and others would have not died if they had received a blood transfusion." Samuel Remo in Yale writes, "The issue of school fees in the state remains a big challenge due to African culture of reproduction. In addition, COVID-19 has made the population vulnerable. I wish decision makers would work things out so that children are not left behind. James Ray Majok in Bentiu Town says, "We need peace in the country rather than war. Let the implementation of the peace agreement continue to be implemented by the warring parties." Shaul Amor Red from Bor in Jonglei State writes, "As schools reopen on May 3rd, as announced by the Minister of Education after the Minister of Health gave the green light for schools to operate, I appeal to all teachers both in primary and secondary schools to be vigilant and ensure that all students observe precautionary measures put in place by the World Health Organization and the government, because prevention is better than cure. I wish all students who have resumed after a year out of their studies the very best in their academic struggle. Hard work pays off. It never goes unrewarded." The views expressed here are not the views of Voice of America or this program. We appreciate your comments. Keep them coming. And that's our show for this Friday. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, wear a mask when in public places, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there is no cure for COVID-19. Join us again Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
Champagne, 'cause every day money day. Ooh, where the hoodie, yeah. Ooh, where the hoodie, yeah.